I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Brian Gittins here. Welcome to the Brian Gittins and Friends podcast. We are on episode 54. When is this ever going to end? Do you know, I actually thought last night, for the first time, I might end this. I might end this podcast and put it to bed. I'll see how it goes. I had a little thought last night. Just a little drink of sherry. I was looking into the fireplace. And I was thinking, end it all, Brian. Okay, so on this episode, we have Rob Orton, poet, comedian. What do you call Rob? He's a poet, definitely a poet. Poet, comedian. He's a poet and a comedian. I don't know if he's done any bin work, worked on the bins. He might have worked on the bins. He's a poet, he's a comedian, and he's a bin man. It's Rob Orton. And I think I can't remember where we are. Oh, we're at Ian Botham's house. Yeah, I think we went looking around Ian Botham's house or bungalow. So that's where we are today. Anything to tell you? Not really. No, tonight, Thursday the 28th of March, if you get this and you've got nothing to do today, come along to the Moth Club in Hackney. It's the new act night that I'm emceeing. It's a brutal comedy tournament, and last month was the most fun I've ever had at a gig, definitely. And so I'm going to be doing this gig until I die. So that's tonight. If you want to support the podcast, then click like and subscribe on wherever you listen to it. And if you want to listen to it, more of the podcast and see videos and news and whatnot, and you get episodes like we put out Rob Orton's episode 2 weeks ago. In fact, we put out Rachel Stubbins, which is the next one. We put that out last night. So if you want to listen to the episodes earlier than the scum, the rest of the scum, then come over to Patreon, David Earl at Patreon. Who's David Earl? Forget about it. Stop asking the question. So, do that. Come over to Patreon. You get all sorts of goodies. Okay, so let's get on with it. Thank you so much for downloading. Tell your friends. Tell your butcher. Tell your old primary school teacher. Tell everyone about the podcast, although I might be ending it soon. But anyway, here's episode 54 with Rob Orson. Bye-bye. Hello, everybody. It's the Brian Gittins podcast.
Wonderful.
How are you, David? You're looking
very good.
You're looking well, actually.
Thank you.
Sometimes I look at you and I think you might have some kind of.
I feel it sometimes. So you're exhausted. You've got colour.
Put on weight.
Oh, wonderful.
You've got colour. Charles reckons you put on a little bit of weight. It's
wonderful
lovely.
Stuff.
It's lovely to see. How's life treating you?
Good, I think. You know, I think on the whole, I think now
stop
looking
shouting.
Back on it.
Keep
the volume down.
Yeah.
I think, on the whole, it's going well.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good at the moment.
Out of 10, what would you give your life out of 10?
I've got colour in the cheeks, I think 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Not perfect.
No.
Whose is?
No.
But
he finally fits in those dungarees.
Yeah, you finally fit in those dungarees. Are you talking about me? why are you laughing at my... Why are you laughing at the fact I put on weight over the last 2 years? Why are you laughing at that?
I was laughing purely because everyone else was laughing, and it was more of a case of just keeping in flow with the room.
Right.
So it was... do you find it funny? Because we went for an omelette before the recording today.
Yes, yeah.
And you said when you saw me in something on the screen, you were like, King Howie's really put on weight.
But that was a few years ago now.
But have you got a problem with the fact that I keep putting on weight and then losing it?
I haven't got a problem at all. We're all human, and I think we're all yo-yos when it comes to weight.
Okay, our guest today is Rob Orton. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
What do you think of the fact that David might have a problem with the fact that I keep yo-yoing my weight?
Do you think this is quite aggressive?
I don't think it's very nice at all. You should be supporting me.
Honestly, I am supporting you 100%, you know, and weight is like a yo-yo. It goes up and down, up and down.
Does it make you laugh if I'm fat?
No, it
Look
doesn't
Look at me in the eye.
Full eye contact,
and say, no,
pupil.
I don't find it funny at all that you've put on weight.
I don't find it funny.
You know, you're not looking me in the eye. You looked at the roof.
Here we go. I don't find it funny at all that you've put on weight. I don't think you have put on weight. I said that with the omelette. I said I don't even think you have.
When you saw me on the screen and you thought I put on weight, what was your thought?
I thought he's done it for the character. He's trying to get into the character. He's been given direction.
Are you showing off in front of Rob?
Right.
No, no.
Yes, Charles.
He calls you names behind your back.
Right, OK.
No, not showing off. That's the absolute truth. I just thought it was you in the character.
Rob Orton, thank you so much for coming along, Rob.
Pleasure so far.
And it will keep on being a pleasure.
Right. Do you know Rob, David?
Absolutely. The comic, the poet.
I thought you were going to say absolutely not, then.
No, I'm very much aware of who you are.
No, remember we did we've done a podcast before.
Yes, we have, yeah.
Yes, we have, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you don't remember.
Yeah, it was on...
Don't point.
Sorry. It was on Skype, wasn't it?
Yes, it was over.
Yes, I do remember that very well.
Skype. So, Rob, yes. Do you like to be called a poet, a comedian, a human being? What do you
yeah,
like
a human
to
be being is human trying, being. First
yeah.
and foremost, writing things down and saying them out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, do you like to write things down and say
just
about that?
Just one of the guys.
I
just
do.
One of the guys.
It's a case of, you know, inspiration hits you, which is a lovely feeling, ink on the paper, and then you verbalise it to other people, and hopefully they can relate to you on some level.
I get criticised for not asking the guests any questions, so I'm going to start now.
Yeah, go for it.
Where did you get your interest in poetry from, Rob? It's so boring.
Well, I'm not interested in it, so there you go.
Right, good.
I am, actually.
No, yeah.
I like words.
Yeah, you like words. Yeah. Words are good fun.
I like hearing conversations.
Yeah, what's the longest word you know, Rob?
That long Welsh tone. What's that? Do you know it, David?
That long Welsh tone? No, no.
Tongue.
I don't know.
No.
Town.
I don't know any long words.
Oh, town. Did you say?
Shout.
Sorry. Absolutely. Keep it down. Well, it's the one that they have the comedy festival at, don't they? What's it called?
No, it's not that.
Not that one.
So, where did you write
Land for Pilgrim Jill Gadge Richmond Job will Untisalai Gog.
Is that what it's called?
Flocky Knocky Nihilification. So sorry.
Land for Pilgrim Jill Gadge Richmond Job will Untisalai Gog.
There you go, that's where it is. I'd like to visit it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
So anyway, thanks for coming along. I'm going to ask you questions throughout the episode.
Cool.
Obviously, really feel
I've got a question, actually.
Have you? Go on. For who?
David.
Okay, so we're... All right, I normally ask the first one. We're going to break a rule. So can we have a breaking a rule sting, please, editor?
Break, breaking the rule. It's a question in an unconventional order, which breaks all the rules. All the bloody rules, goddammit. Chaos, almost. Fucking anarchy. Breaking the rules. Question.
Thank you. Rob's going to ask the first question.
Where are we?
Well, yeah, I haven't even said where we are. So, where are we in this episode? We are in Ian Botham's house.
Wow.
So we're about... Well, we're not actually in Ian Botham's house. We're on his drive. He's got a gravel drive.
In land, Pupil Gwynjil, Godger Richmond, Drobble, Untisalai Gog.
No, in Worcester. So we're just going to walk up the drive.
Wonderful.
And just before you ask your question, we're going to knock on Ian Botham's house door.
Blimey, I wasn't expecting this.
So can you tell the audience what his house looks like quickly, Dave, before we knock on the door?
Well, it's just like it's a very large, wide bungalow. So there's not a second or third floor, but it's very, you know, it's a big bungalow, but it is just a bungalow.
Okay, so...
Which is a bit surprising.
You like to knock on the door, don't
here
you?
Here we go. Knock, knock. Here we are.
You don't have to do the noise.
Just knuckles on the wood.
Just knock on the door.
Yep, there we go.
No, you keep pretending to. Knock on it.
Keep it.
No, 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 no. Knock on the door. Why won't you just knock on the door?
Well, there I am. I'm knocking on it as
no, you're
we speak.
Not. You're pretending to. Knock on the door. Thank you.
There we go. Simple. There we are.
Okay, so he's not in. So what we're going to do is we're going to break into Ian Botham's house. But you ask the first question, Rob. So the first question of the episode is from Rob Orton.
What was the last item you can remember buying in Argos?
The last item I bought in Argos was...
Into the mic, please, David.
Absolutely, yeah, you're quite
not
right.
Not that much into the
great
mic.
Great question.
Great question. Well,
it is a very good question.
Semi-great question, Rob.
First of all, I was shocked to find it in Sainsbury's.
Will you stop shouting at him?
Sorry, absolutely. Keep the volume down.
What did you find in Sainsbury's?
Argos.
What?
They don't. Argos is as you can't find an Argos now in the local high street.
Wait, you've got to go into Sainsbury's to
get
to Argos.
I turned a corner, I was suddenly in Argos.
In Sainsbury's.
About? In Sainsbury's.
He's stalling for time.
You've got is it got its own aisle? Argos aisle?
No, not at all. A whole section of the shop, a whole corner of Argos is Sainsbury's. Is now Argos.
Okay, all right.
Are you talking about Sainsbury's in WH?
Trying to think of a funny item.
There's a Sainsbury's in WH Smith's. In train stations.
Honestly.
Stalling.
Honestly.
Can you just answer the question? And the question was?
The last thing I bought.
Stop shouting.
A bonus point for the serial number.
Bonus point for the serial number.
Okay, yep. Scale Electrics was the last thing I bought there.
How old
my nephew, not for me.
Okay,
but I certainly enjoyed playing on it.
And the serial number? Just say if you don't know.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie and try and show off. I just do not know.
Okay. So how much was the scale? How much is scale electrics?
£20, and it was a healthy-sized track. It's about half the lounge. And, it's £20.
£20?
Handed over the Queen's face, got myself a track and two cars. Not bad at all. £20, £20.
How old's your nephew?
My nephew is...
Bullshit.
Bullshit. No, 3 years old. Three or four.
No, not your nephew's age.
No.
I mean the price of the scale.
He's five.
I don't care about you. I'd like your nephew. I'm just saying I don't care about his age. I want to know the price of the scale electric.
Oh, I said £20.
Well, I don't believe you.
No, it's £20 scale electric. I mean,
my
it wasn't
first
the...
Calextric by Calextric 907/1819.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his... But well remembered.
Do you go into Argos?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Last time.
£39.99.
£39.99.
Did you get it reduced? Half price.
Yeah, it must have been. And also, there's different amounts of different tracks, I imagine. I don't think mine was. He's only five.
Yeah.
So it's not going to have like ramps.
He loved that, didn't he?
Oh, God, yeah. I went down an absolute treat.
Yeah.
I was very popular on the day.
Was it a figure of eight or?
No, it wasn't. So that's probably where £40 is a figure of eight.
So what was it?
It was like a circle, really. And you'd race zero. Each other. Yeah, like a zero. You're quite right. Not an eight, a zero. So you put next to each other at the 80.
You like words. What's another word for a circle and a zero?
Naught.
Naught. Another word, David?
An O. There you go.
Can we play a game?
Yes.
Okay, so we can have some background music, please, James. We're going to play the number zero game. So, if you give me another word for the number zero, go.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh.
Done yet?
Naught. Have we said naught?
No. We carry on. Naught. Yeah, we'll have that.
Circle.
Stop sign.
No, that's bad.
Trying to think what else it would be.
Say donut.
Donuts.
Wrong.
Oh dear.
Okay. So
you led me down that path. My hand in yours. Happy to go along with you.
So do you buy stuff from Argos?
I do. Yeah. Probably an airbed was the last thing I bought.
Did you really?
You get them quite cheap from there.
Do you know? I heard a story last week about a guy who fucked an airbed. Genuinely.
Really? Gosh.
Yeah, he sort of rolled the pillow over and put his willy in the hole. And I know a guy who I actually caught him fucking a porno mag.
Right, what on the airbed?
He's one of my friends, my old childhood friend. No, he was fucking a porno mag.
Just made a hole and...
No, there's no hole. It's just slamming against the page.
Flipping out. You want to watch out for paper cuts and things like that with that, I'd have thought.
Yeah.
Man, that could add to it.
I'm trying to visualise it. I can't even quite...
What's that, Charles?
Did he come?
Not sure.
Quite a frustrated man, just trying to relieve a lot of that tension.
Yeah.
We can all relate to that to a certain degree. Having sex with the airbed, though, that's quite intense.
Was this man called David?
No, it's not David.
No, it wasn't me.
It's quite... genuinely, how desperate do you need to be to curl up with a pillow of an airbed and put your...
Because with, like, a blow-up doll, at least you've got, like, you know, a face,
boobs.
Two legs, you've got some kind of role-play.
Do blow-up dolls have...
Well, an airbed could be a type of a blow-up doll.
But I was thinking it's more like just a large, you know, canvas of air, really, isn't it? There's no actual personality there or anything to project onto.
It's not in a... But do what are they called? Air dolls? What are they called? Sex dolls?
Yes,
Do they have vaginas or anything at all?
Apparently so.
Do they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's... I saw one in
Japan. What would you call
Japan,
your doll, David?
What would you call your sex doll?
It would just be
Samantha.
Simple as that. Keep it simple. Sam or Samantha.
Yeah.
Generic name.
Generic.
And, I think simple as that. Don't try and show off. Simple as. Just simple name.
Would you start with Samantha and then the more you got to know us, change it to Sam?
Yeah, I would do, yes. I'd wait until the ice has been broken type of thing. She's out of the box. She's been blown up a few times.
Okay, so James is going to take us forward in time. To a moment when you bought Samantha. So if you'd like to hear
what nickname would you give her?
Let's hear what that sounds like. So if you get her out of the box, here we go, and just have a conversation with her. It's David with Samantha.
Here we go, Samantha. Welcome to my my lounge. I'm just gonna lay you on the couch here. And I'm gonna put the pipe in somewhere. There we go. I'll use this for camping, but I think it should be able to fill you with the sufficient amount of air needed. There we go. You can see a smile appearing on your face as the air enters the cheeks. You've got lovely hair. I don't mind just gently stroking it as your thighs and your kneecaps come to life. Seeing a real person in front of me. There we go. There we are, a full person. Take a seat. There we are.
Keep going.
Wonderful. So you got wonderful eyes, it's got to be said, and you've got a lovely figure. And let's take the pipe out and connect the... and there we go, a fully formed woman in my flat. Who'd think it? Filled with 100% air.
Okay,
there's nothing
right,
else.
Yeah, okay,
there's no reply there, really.
No,
it's one way.
No, I wasn't interested in the conversation. I wanted to hear you get down and dirty with her.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about it.
I treat her like a lady.
I think I can hear Beefy coming in.
No, that's not him. That's just a postman. What we'll do, we'll walk round the back of Ian Botham's house. So here we go.
Yes.
We're walking round the back of his bungalow. David, see that little window there? That's his downstairs toilet. If we smash that quickly.
Really? That's illegal,
just smash
isn't it?
We're going to go in and look around Ian Botham's house.
Right, OK, there we go. Let's get that smash.
OK,
done
so,
and dusted.
Rob, you get... Oh, you get on my hands. I'll lift you up. You get... There we go. And
here we
David,
are.
There we go. We're in Ian Botham's house.
Wow.
Wow. What do you see immediately, Rob?
Massive.
It is massive. Big thing.
It's got a big fire guard.
Got a big fire guard.
A lot of trophies. The guy's won a lot of awards.
Yeah, what awards has he won, David?
Well, it seems to be all cricket related.
Yeah, read it. Look at that award. What does that say?
Sports Professional Legend of 2002. That was a very competitive year, but he still won.
Yeah. And that award there?
The Ashes.
Yeah.
Just rows upon rows of bloody ashes.
And that award there.
That was helping disabled kids.
Okay,
so more about, you know.
I've got a question for you, David. What movie quotes do you use on a regular basis?
Film quotes. I'm trying to think of an actual quote in a film.
Say if you don't.
No, I don't think I do use film quotes.
Rob,
I think it's simple as that.
Show me the money.
Show me the money? Do you ever say that?
Do you know, I'm not going to lie, I've never said that. It sounds a bit rude. Show me the money. It's an American could pull that off, but I don't think anyone in Britain.
I love black people.
Yeah, in actual fact, I do regularly say that. So that's a film quote I do regularly embrace.
When did you last say that?
I would say probably when I was in an airport. just surrounded by people of different ethnicities. Just stood in the middle of the lounge bit when you're waiting to go on the plane.
What, and you said what?
Just sort of almost just probably said it to myself type of thing, you know.
What do you mean? What did you say?
You know, I love black people, basically. Simple as. Just made it clear. Gave the air stewardess eye contact and a nod of the head just to make
okay,
it clear.
OK, well, let's see what this looks like. So David, again, is going to take us back to another time. You're walking through Gatwick Airport to your little lounge bit, and over to you. Tell us what you do. Let's see what happens.
I'm just standing there in the middle of the departure lounge, both hands on both hips, kind of just looking around at everyone, and then I just give eye contact to the air stewardess and just say, you know, do you know what? I just love black people. And it's just, you know, it's just a real epiphany moment. And just leave it there kind of thing, and then... It's a positive comment. It's no criticism.
OK, that's fine. So that's in Gatwick Airport. Can I just stick you in another location? Maybe, where could we be?
Argos again type of thing?
Let's put you in an off-licence.
Yes, fair enough.
OK, so you're about to walk into an off-licence. Let's over to you again. Let's see what happens.
Yep, so I'm in the off-licence. I'm queuing up with perhaps a bottle of cider and flicking through a magazine I bought. And, you know, I turn to the man behind the counter and I show him a picture, and it's like a fashion kind of, sort of cover shoot type of thing. And one of them, one of the models is of, you know, a certain ethnicity type of thing. And I just say, you know, don't you love black people? As a sort of a question with a question mark at the end. And he says, yes, I buy the cider and the magazine. And I go my way. It's a great icebreaker. Okay.
Yeah. And one other time, let's do one more location. You're on Brighton Beach. You've had a little bit to drink. You're walking along the pebbles. We can hear that now. Walking along the pebbles. The beach is quite busy. And you want to shout out to the whole of Brighton.
Well, yeah, I'd roll up my trousers, wander into the sea, just up to my sort of shins. And then I'd just look out to the beach, you know, gesturing to certain people.
Do you want to go into the corner of the room so you can really shout it?
Yeah, if you want me to.
Yeah, might as well do it right.
Just stand here in the middle of Brighton, sorry, headphones, and just shout, you know, I love...
No, obviously shout it. That's not shouting.
I love... are you listening? I love black people. Simple as that. Just wanted to share that with you back to your sunbathing.
OK. Okay, Rob. So, have you got another question for David?
Sorry about that, Rob. That was quite a surreal situation. I'm sort of hitting the rewind button now and thinking what took place there. I don't know if it was if it's appropriate or bridges have been burnt. I'm not sure.
Right.
But it's all positive. It's all just saying, you know, got a lot of love and affection for that particular subset.
I've got a question.
Subset.
Yes.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the feel.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, second question from Rob.
If you decided to install a stained glass window into your house, which people or animals, if any, would you have included in the scene?
Wow, lovely.
So like a church-style stainless...
yeah, but you can choose
anyone. Incredible question.
It is a very good question. It's a very impressive
one. Can
we
have the sound of a rocket going off? Lovely.
And what animals?
Yeah, you could... Just your favourite animals, your favourite people.
Yeah, I would definitely have it as a forest setting.
Okay.
Okay, so like a...
So are the trees like coming in from the side, like some branches?
Yes, that would be like the outside of the stainless window.
Okay.
And then on the actual twigs, you know, the actual arms of the trees...
Stainless window, did you say?
Stained glass.
Stained glass. Stained glass.
Stained glass. Stainless window.
No, you're quite right.
No.
Every window would stain if you don't look after it. Quite right. So I'd have squirrels on the sides of it.
Grey or red?
I'd have both.
Okay.
Ruby red and a nice mysterious kind of grey.
Brilliant.
And definitely when the sun goes through, particularly with the red squirrels, creates a really, you know, impressive reflection on the carpets, ultimately. And then right at the centre at the top, I'd have a large hawk.
You like owls, don't you?
I do like owls. I didn't think of that. Maybe have a few owl eyes appearing in amongst the leaves.
Really?
Yes. But definitely a hawk hovering above them all.
All right.
Well, why the hawk?
Well, you don't know if it's a friend or foe, because one thing about windows, those church-style windows, is there needs to be the potential for a narrative.
So what's happening in the middle?
In the middle, you have a forest in the background.
A forest?
It's got a real depth of field, like trees in the background and bushes and things in that vein. So around the sides, you've got squirrels. In the middle... You've got hovering hawk. You don't know if it's a friend or foe.
Okay.
It's going to basically, you know, consume.
So
squirrels.
You're going to be looking at this every day in your house, though, and you're going to be asking yourself that question: what is it, friend or foe?
Very much getting me ready for what's waiting for me behind that front door, as in society. You know, am I going to be surrounded by hawks that want to eat me or embrace me?
Yeah,
one way or the other, basically. And then in the background,
what's the last time you were confronted by a hawk, a metaphorical hawk that wanted to eat you? Who was that?
Gosh, I'm trying to think. A metaphorical hawk. Probably queuing up in a pub or a bar, in the sense of not trying to eat me, but trying to, you know, they haven't been waiting as long as me, but they're trying to just consump me, push me aside and get their fosters before me, type of thing. So I'd say there's a sort of an unwritten competition taking place there, type of thing.
Mm.
It's not actually verbalised. Mm. But someone's taking liberties, and I know who that hawk is.
Yeah.
So you've got some forest in the background, and then what? In the foreground, is there some people?
No people.
No people.
All animals, not touched by humans. And in the background, the more I think about it, we can see these little ruby-yellow reflections.
Ruby-yellow?
Yes. Oh, no, not ruby-yellow, sorry. What was yellow? Sort of like, lemon-yellow, gold-yellow, quite right. And they're the owls.
Right.
Watching, paranoia.
Yeah.
Gazing and judging. As you're, sat there on the top of a branch.
What, in your house? Who's sat there? What?
In the actual picture.
Okay.
So it'd be the squirrels.
All right.
Ultimately.
That sounds like a nice...
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Stained glass window.
No sex dolls, no?
Absolutely.
No. You got sex dolls in your window?
No, God, no. I wouldn't have that whatsoever. No, that's very much
not
in a box,
style.
Under the couch.
Yeah.
None of that in the forest.
Rob, how long have you been writing poems for?
Since about 2005, maybe.
2005? Have you ever written a poem, David?
No, I've never sat down...
Don't fucking shout.
Sorry, keep the volume normal. Pen in hand, I've never written an actual poem.
Do you think you could advise David on how to write a poem? Where do you start? Where'd you start? If you come up with what would you want to write? Seriously, David, what would you like to write a poem about? Don't try to be funny.
No, it's fine.
No.
Well, I think the forest setting that we're saying...
No, you don't want to write a fucking poem about a forest.
I'm trying to... A subject about... I think something that's quite epic and atmospheric.
Something in your life. What means a lot to you?
Something that means... a lot of family.
Okay, family.
I think
so he wants to write a poem about family.
Your nephew.
Yes, Scare Electrics are my nephew. Christmas Day.
Okay, so where would he start? Where would you start with that, Rob?
Maybe with the paper. What wrapping paper was it? Can you remember?
It was Christmas, I think, Bob the Builder. Christmas Bob the Builder.
Was it?
It was. I remember it now very well.
Oh, that's good. That sounds expensive.
Yeah, I think, it's...
You're not getting that from the pound shop, are you?
I certainly am not. Probably got it from Argus alongside the actual Skeletric.
Do you want to start the poem, David? Can we have a little bit of music, please, James? Just give the first two lines. Is it a couplet? Is that what it's called, Rob? It was a couplet.
Yeah, I tried to. I don't
like that.
Big on rhyming, but.
Okay. Rob doesn't like rhyming.
Oh, right, you avoid that.
Yeah,
no, I don't mind.
If you could do the first two lines and then we'll see what Rob thinks of it.
Definitely.
So a bit of music starting now. All about your family.
I hold the box in the palm of my hand, looking down, filled with expectation and excitement.
Genuinely, Rob, if you heard that, if you went to some poetry reader, would you go, that's rubbish? Or would you go, okay, I'm in?
I think, I'd be like, I'm interested to see what's in the box.
Okay.
There we go, that's
okay,
what we
next
want.
Next two lines.
I go to the floor and pick up a roll. On the roll is the face of Bob, the builder. I've lost
crap.
It now.
Crap.
I thought the present sure was wrapped up.
Yeah,
I thought it was all wrapped up.
No.
It's just going to be wrapped.
Absolute crap.
I'm out.
What?
I'm out.
I'm out. Crap.
Not just I've lost the audience.
Can we start again? Please try harder.
Right, here we go.
Don't try and be funny. It's not about being funny. It's about writing a good poem.
Right.
Try a bit harder.
I look down to see the box already wrapped and ready
harder.
Filling.
Start again and try harder.
I look down at the box.
Harder.
Thank you, Charles. Harder.
The box is open. I've thrown it across the room. Just trying to add some drama. Trying to keep people interested at a hook.
No. Rob.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on you. How would you start that poem? Like, instinctively, what would you...
I'd maybe start... I'd probably start with the box as well. But, I mean, maybe the Skeletric boxes are normally quite colourful, aren't they? Maybe I'd start with the colours of the car's
the
got the lights on. If the car's got the lights on and things like that,
that's
maybe.
Nice.
Don't know.
Lovely little detail.
Yes, little elements like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's try that. Thank you.
This is my kind of guy.
Yeah. Right, let's try it again with that in mind.
I see the box on front of which is a dad and a son. Having the time of their life, I hope to recreate in an hour's time. There we go, a bit of nostalgia, a perfect setting.
Yeah.
In front of each.
Has he got a jumper on, the little kid?
Yes, he has. Or like I imagine a tracksuit, one of those Adidas tracksuits.
Oh, really?
Definitely, yes.
What, with poppers?
Yep, absolutely. Poppers, absolutely vital. And perhaps son and dad wearing matching Adidas tracksuits with poppers.
What colour?
Other brands are available.
Red.
Red, white stripes. What, like something out of Royal Tenenbaums?
Yes, that kind of vibe. Absolutely, right. In unison.
Right.
This hasn't got legs of poem, has it?
Absolute crap.
It is,
crap.
It's a shape.
I've got one more question.
Yeah.
Am I allowed?
Yeah.
You told me to
tuck
bring
in,
four.
Mate. Tuck in.
Is the rumour true that your uncle is the much celebrated triple jumper Jonathan Edwards CBE?
Unfortunately not.
Got it.
Unfortunately, I've let you down with a poem and I've let you down with my Gene Paul relatives.
Are you going to bring anything to this episode?
Well, I didn't realise...
Okay.
That was a bad question. I've got another one. If you had a ranch, what would you call it? If you won the lottery and you could move to America and then you've got a ranch?
Nirvana. Simple as that. It'd be my own version of heaven. I'd be in control, very high fences. And I'd breed whatever animal that I wanted in my own little heaven, like a sort of god figure.
Yeah.
And, grow corn, eat popcorn, and just kind of just chill out.
Guys, Ian Botham's bedroom's just down that hallway. So if we make our way down the little hallway there,
Enter. There it is. There's the door. And it's shut tight. So I'm going to try and push it open. There we go. So push it. Look.
There are 500 cricket balls in here.
There are 500 cricket balls in here.
And they've all been shined and all ready to use.
And Ian Botham's asleep in the bed, David.
Well, we should leave, though. I don't want him to sleep.
Get over to Ian Botham.
And do what?
He's snoring.
He's snoring.
We should leave him then. Really,
no, no, no. Go over to Ian Botham. David's creeping over to Ian Botham.
And what shall I do?
What do you want to do?
Just leave him be, I think. I don't want to wake him up. He might be a bit
angry.
Undo his flies, his pyjama flies.
Here we go. Just unbutton there. Just open it slightly. Give him a bit of air circulation.
Hello, Beefy.
Hi, Beefy. Let's have a little conversation with Beefy. Do you want to have a chat with him?
Well, first thing, I do apologise. It wasn't my idea to come into your room unannounced and start unbuttoning parts of your PJs type of thing.
He's got a question of sport pyjamas on.
I think you have to present it.
Why
to
is he not talking
that.
To you?
I've no idea. I think he's shocked and appalled. There's a stranger in his bedroom that's unreleased his flies.
OK, I've got a question here from someone on Patreon, David. Someone here on Patreon, and he asks Stuart Page. I think he's already sent in questions before. He's a real page turner, Stuart Page on Patreon. He asks, "What's the worst thing that your mother has ever said to you?"
The worst thing my mother has ever said to me. Do you know, I don't think there was anything negative. I think it was always strong reviews.
The worst thing that your brother has said to you.
Worst thing my brother, I think I've said before, you know, he does end most sentences with an element of criticism.
Okay.
So I think
right. I've got an idea, Rob. Okay, so we've got a big plasma screen there on the wall.
Yeah, brilliant.
I thought it'd be nice to every so often invite your brother onto the podcast.
Right.
So we're going to Skype him, like we did in the last episode. So I'm just loading up the Skype. There we go. And then I'm going to ring your brother. Okay, we're just calling David's brother. Your brother's called what?
James.
James, so it's just calling James, who's in New Zealand, yes?
He certainly is.
And David's going to... You're going to do an impression of your brother and you're going to have a conversation with him, yeah? And see how the podcast
yeah, if you
is
wish.
Going.
Yes.
Okay, there he is. There's James. Wave to James, everybody.
Hiya, James. How are you? You're listening to the podcast? No, I haven't been. Well, it's not being broadcast live, is it? So there's no way I'm not telepathic. Yeah, very true, very true. Maybe, you know, when it is finished, we'd like to hear a review. Well, it's not all about you, Dave. It's, you know, I've just rung up to talk about the family generally and just, you know, get up to date with what's happening. Yeah, I apologise. Sorry about that. It's, I can become a little self-obsessed. How is New Zealand generally? I've already told you in the email I sent, but you haven't replied to yesterday. Right. Sorry about that. It's just time, basically. There's a lot of admin taking place. Well, it takes 5 seconds to reply to an email, doesn't it? Come on. Most people can do it via mobile phone. You're quite right. I apologise. You're right again. And then it just sort of dismantles these conversations.
Well, let's just keep talking another minute. Let's just try and...
How's your job at New Zealand? Are you enjoying that as a nurse? You're working in a hospital. Is it quite stressful? Yes, it is stressful. And you know it's stressful because you just explained that to me yourself. You're giving me answers already to the questions. That's not a conversation. Once again, I apologise. I really generally do. And it's just back and forth.
So
like
that. Might as well hear that back and forth for a little bit longer.
Ask him if he likes Ian Botham.
Ask him if he
oh,
likes.
Oh, yes, James, you may not realise it. Have a look around. But this isn't my house. This is the house of famous cricketer of the 80s, particularly in Weetabix ads, Ian Botham.
Shredded wheat.
Shredded wheat, quite right. Not Weetabix, shredded wheat. As you can see, we've got to have all the ashes on the actual side there.
Can you ask James about your comedy career? What he thinks of it?
Yeah, quick question, James. Give me the real facts. What do you think of my comedy career at the moment? Where do you think it's going? Is it lifting off? Is it climbing to new advantages? Well, I don't know. I've never seen you on the TV. No one's heard of you in New Zealand. You need to go a lot more global with it. I think there's a lot of talk. There's not a lot of action taking place. That's my view on your career at the moment. There isn't a career. That's the reality, Dave. Thanks to the reality pill, bro. I'll happily swallow that and, you know...
Oh, hang on a minute. Just need to reconnect with Skype. So, is it James?
It is, yeah.
James's face is just frozen on the plasma screen. How's that feel, talking to James on the podcast?
Uphill struggle. Bite my tongue.
Okay, and he's back again. Okay, one more question, then we'll... Quick question, then we'll close down Skype.
Thanks. Golden question time.
Yeah, thanks for that, James.
My questions are...
Yeah, obviously. Close down Skype. We'll have a golden question section with Rob.
Skype has closed down. It's gone.
Okay, thanks
for
that.
There we go.
So we have a golden question section each podcast,
okay.
Rob, where David gets to ask the guests one question.
Okie doke.
So, David, have you got a question for Rob?
Yep, absolutely. The question I want to ask was, if you weren't in the...
Have you come up with a question?
I have, yeah. I'm just trying to make sure it's well executed and well put together.
Sure.
Not one about comedy.
Not one about comedy.
Oh, it is slightly related to...
Come up with another one.
With creativity.
Oh, OK. All right. Go on, then.
Well, to a certain degree.
Mm.
No.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to like this one. I think they're going to find it a bit... I've lost confidence.
Have you given it any thought?
I have. The question was...
I asked you to bring one question in.
I have. Now I'm losing confidence with it, but it was about, you know, if you weren't in the arts and you weren't given the opportunity to write books, do comedy, and you found yourself, you know, in an office doing a normal 9-to-5 job, would you be able... Do you think you'd survive in that environment?
OK, that's interesting. Is that anything to do with your work and how you have to survive in your work?
No.
OK.
No.
So how would you find that environment?
I'd definitely try my best. Would I be able to write things down?
No, it's very much 9-to-5, they own you type of thing.
Yeah. I think you just have to... Try your best, wouldn't I? I mean, we're in an office at the moment. They've got a fruit bowl. I haven't got a fruit bowl in my house, and I think I just think about the free... When I did used to work in an office.
I was going to say, you've experienced it, then.
Yeah, yeah. I used to enjoy the free fruit, and they used to have really nice Hovis bread and Lurpak and Gale's set honey for free. So I just lapped that up, really.
Those little moments that give you a bit of pleasure.
I think you've got to, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the right way to act. It's the right outlook.
Do you like your job, David? Or do you find
yes,
it...
Yes, I do.
You
yeah.
do?
Yes.
That's lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, you always tend to... are you just saying that because this goes out?
No.
You like your job?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
I think one thing that I do miss is I spend a lot of time on my own, and working in an office, you get to be around people, don't you?
Yeah, I can imagine you spend a lot of time. Do you procrastinate a lot just on your own in the flat?
You just go round and round in circles. There is that. No, and like being self-employed is pretty brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
But
I can. I don't think I get anything done if
Why?
I don't have a boss. Well, I just I find myself just making snacks, getting up late. Thinking, oh, there's no use doing anything now, you know, I'll have lunch. And then easily 3-4 o'clock would rock up and there'd just be nothing produced, just a lot of Netflix watched.
Yeah. What snacks would you be making, do you think?
Also, what would your job be? Self-employed as what?
Self-employed as a writer, perhaps? You know, a pen and paper? You know, a novel, something in that kind of vein? But I think... you know, to wake up the next morning with that inspiration, fuel and energy, we just don't know how you're going to wake up, do you?
Mm.
You know, what kind of outlook you're going to have.
Mm.
And if it's not, you know, get ready to rumble, you know, pistons in the air, shoot, let's start sprinting.
What are you talking about?
You know, metaphor of like, get out of bed, get stuff happening, you know, the race of life.
Okay, so we're just walking through. Ian Botham's gone back to sleep, so we're just walking back through his bungalow.
We need to find the safe.
Yeah, we do. We need to find Ian Botham's safe and nick his money. So while we look for his safe, I'm going to ask one more question, David, and that question...
And snort the ashes.
And that question is, if someone narrated your life, who'd be the narrator?
If someone narrated my life, it would be...
You've got 30 seconds.
Who presents Weakest Link? It is...
Anne Robinson.
Anne Robinson. Definitely. You know, very much teacherly, educated, very, you know, at times unimpressed, other times celebrating moments of my life.
Can we hear what that sounds like? So you're getting out of bed. How would Anne Robinson do that? Narrate your life.
Well, it'd be that sort of voice.
Okay,
you know,
well,
sort
can
of
we
feet,
sit? So
you know?
She's narrating you, getting out of bed. Here you are, getting out of bed. Go.
Dave leans his left foot out, then right, stretches, and then wanders to the toilet to relieve himself before the beginning of yet another day.
Is she like being mean to you as well? Is she like?
I think at times it'd be quite spiky.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Quite nasty every now and then.
And what does she say?
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Yes, that would be said every now and then.
What would she be like when she sees you've done something good? So what would that be?
Yeah,
let's hear it.
Yeah. Well done, Mr. Edwards. Well done. It'd be like that,
yeah,
echoing over the top.
What had you done, sir?
It would be a case of helping a disabled person onto a bus. Something simple as that, not just grab myself a chair.
Okay, so can we hear the whole thing? Well done, Mr. Edwards, for helping you to say.
Well done, Mr.
It's 2019.
It's 2019. We're all helping each other on and off public transport.
Okay. So we're coming to that. We can't find his safe. I'm going to apologise, to be honest with you. I'm sorry, Rob. Normally, this is a excellent podcast.
Yes.
Or crap.
I think it's pretty good. You know, yeah. We get there from beginning, middle and end.
But normally, it's very tightly structured. Normally know what we're doing, and I feel like we've let you down, Rob. So David's written a sorry and apology letter there. So if you pull the letter out, David.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just apologise to Rob for the podcast.
Dear Rob, you made the effort to come along. You know, you paid for the underground and the bus and walked, you know, along many a street to be here. Apologies, as our admin really wasn't, you know, top notch. We really hadn't sort of come up with a clear narrative and character arc before you turned up. Apologies. Come along next time, and we'll have a lot more narrative ammo to fire at you.
Yeah. Apology accepted. But yeah. I also went in with some questions at the wrong time, so I think I'm partly to blame.
No,
not at all.
No, he might be actually.
Really? What, Rob might be the reason why it hasn't really floated.
I think it might be.
No, I think he's done absolutely perfectly. I think, you know.
Yeah, but you normally talk about the guests afterwards, well, after they've gone, don't you?
In a positive light, definitely.
No, there's nothing to do with you, Rob. Thank you so much for coming along.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's been so lovely.
No, thank you very much,
We're
Rob.
We're stuck in Ian Botham's house, aimlessly walking around with nowhere
wandering
to go.
Wandering in the hallways.
Sometimes, maybe this is a bit like, what's that Coen Brothers film where it's got no ending?
I don't know.
Right, we're a little bit like that, this podcast.
Yeah, that style.
Exactly. So, Rob, thank you for coming along. David, thank you.
No, thank you.
Charles,
thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. And Ian Botham, bye-bye to Ian
Botham. Au revoir, sir. Thank
bye,
you.
Ian.
See you on the next one. Bye-bye.
That was a Mr. Box production.